call.
It's 765-447-4080.
Duff and Kitch back with you on a Friday. Welcome back to the Hammer Down Show. Speaking of text, we've had some good text rolling in here today. The Hammerheads, as usual, Kitch.
Love them.
Always ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Got some good stuff here. So let's start with Mark. Mark wondering, do you think Purdue will bring in a grad transfer this offseason? He's thinking about either offensive line, defensive line, or linebacker.
Oh, I think that there's probably 100% chance that they'll go after grad transfers. They've had some really good luck in the last few years with grad transfers, and actually this year too, our leading tackler is a grad transfer. You know, with Ben Holt, and you know, we've had Shane Evans on the line. We've had, there's been a lot of guys that have come in on the grad transfer piece, and I definitely think that they'll go, that they will try to find some. They tried to find some this year. Some others on the line didn't quite land some of the ones they wanted, I think, and. That is one of the reasons we're in the situations up front that we are, and I think they were expecting to land a few of those guys. So it is what it is, but I think that's always a priority for them with how the NCAA is laid out right now, with them having the rules that you can do that, you know, that grad transfer piece. I think you're foolish if you don't go that route. You know, you get guys that got good game experience. You bring them in, you can plug them in, they can play right away. They're game ready, they're physically ready, they've played, they've gone through the wars a little bit. Bring them in and play some football.
Good stuff there, Mark. Leo wants to know, if Minnesota loses to Iowa and Wisconsin wins out, who wins the West?
Oh, good Lord. I haven't even looked at that. Can you?
Well, Minnesota's leading the way at 6-0.
Okay.
Wisconsin's 4-2.
Right.
So if Wisconsin wins out, they have Nebraska, Purdue, and Minnesota. So that would get them to 7-2. And
who's Wisconsin's losses?
Wisconsin has lost to Illinois and Ohio State.
So that would be in the West, that's only one loss in the West. So that would be Minnesota should have two losses in the West then, right?
But they count like all they just count all your losses.
Okay.
In general. So I think Wisconsin would be 7-2. Minnesota would be, what's he saying, losing to Iowa and Wisconsin?
Be the same.
So they'd be 7-2.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin would have the tiebreaker because they beat Wisconsin, they beat Minnesota.
I think that's, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what, usually head to head is the tiebreaker on that, the first ones, but I'd have to look. I haven't looked that closely to see how many layers deep it goes on that, but right now Minnesota's in control of their own destiny for sure.
Correct.
On that piece. So, Wisconsin's got to beat the Boilers first, man.
Boom.
I mean, we're going to be traveling up to Madison here in a week from today. I will be in Madison.
I know.
Getting ready for this thing. I'm excited to go up there. That'd be a good time.
So thanks, Leo, for that one. This from Purdue Paul. Kitch, will you share the Danny Hope punching the other assistant coach story today, please? Purdue Paul's been dying for this story.
Every time I'm on, I think Purdue Paul asks this story.
He does.
Purdue Paul, we need to go get a beverage together sometime, and I can share that maybe a little bit on a. You know, there's certain things I can talk about. There's certain things that I shouldn't talk about on the air for sure. I will tell you this. I cannot confirm nor deny anything, but I will tell you this. If Danny Hope, I remember this line well. He said, if you knock me out, or if you knock me down, you better knock me out, because when I come to, it's on. And he goes, and if you knock me down again, you better knock me out and have to kill me, because if I can get up, I'm getting after it. And I can attest to that. He will get up and he will get after it. There is no messing around with Danny Hope. I tell you that I've seen it firsthand. So that's all I can say is that he is a scrapper. I believe him and that he and his wife Sally. I believe they met during a bar fight, and that was how they met, and that's how he fell in love with his wife. Is the story that I've been told, and it's. He's something, man. I tell you, I know a lot of Purdue faithful out there. They got frustrated with Danny Hope and as a head coach, but He's a man that I love to death, and I defended him to the nth degree. Probably even had some strained relationships and business relationships because of it, because I defended him so much, and I'll still do that because he is, you know, he was a mentor and like a father figure to me all the way through college and taught me a lot. And he's one of those dudes that I call upon a lot of his coaching styles and a lot of things that he does in, you know, my life and the way I coach and the way I raise my kids and do some different things. And man, he's a guy. If you knock him down, you better just knock him all the way down, not let him back up. Because if he can get up, he's gonna get up and he's gonna come after you. So it's a good story. And one of these days in mixed company, maybe I'll share it at some other point, but I can't share the whole story on there. Sorry, Purdue Paul. Maybe one time we'll run into each other outside the studio. We can have a beverage and have a chat.
What's Coach up to these days? When's the last time you talked to him?
He's coaching it. Last time I know he's coaching Eastern Kentucky again. He's the offensive line coach.
That's right.
Eastern Kentucky.
That's right.
And from what I understand, I haven't talked to him since the season started, but I think he's doing well. I think everything's rolling with him, and he's still teaching and coaching kids, you know, teach them how to play O-line. And I think that's what he is the best at, you know, is mentoring kids and teaching them about life, teaching about the offensive line and how to grow up to be great, productive young men.
Purdue Paul also has another question. As you were talking about Drew Brees and not wanting to wait, talking about his thumb and how you were saying, like, well, had the bye week. Well, maybe just wait another week. And he's like, no, I want to play. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. And Purdue Paul saying, a good point, Kitch. Lorenzo Neal is sitting out an entire season. Wasn't he given the green light to play? Do we know? He said the only action we have seen of him is walking down the street eating a sandwich.
I don't know. I mean, it's an odd situation.
It really is.
I don't know if he's been given the green light. That's never really come out. I don't think Coach Brohm, to my knowledge, has ever came out and said he has the green light. He could be playing. With knees and things like that, I'm not going to get on the kid. I'm just talking in general terms. I wasn't talking about anything in specific, I guess. But I would love to see him on the field. I think he could help our team. But you know, he's making his decision that he's not ready, and whether that's with the trainer's blessing or it's not with the trainer's blessing, I have no idea. I'm not privy to that information, and the coach hasn't really come out and said one way or the other. You get a sense, but who knows? Could he have helped this year? Absolutely, man. Could it have helped his draft stock? For sure. Could he have got injured? Absolutely. Who knows? Everybody can get injured at any point. But I just call back to, you never know. Maybe he doesn't get drafted. Maybe he, has to play in the XFL or some. I mean, maybe he never puts on pads again. You never know how this thing would go. And maybe this was his only opportunity. And if it is, and he could have played this one, he'll probably regret that for a long time. But I don't know whose decision it is, if it's his or if it's trainers or whatever it is. He's going to have to live with the decisions that he makes himself and, or the advice that he's getting. But that's their decision to make, I guess.
And same with Rondell Moore. I mean, there's two regular season games remaining. We don't know what Rondell's health status is right this second. I'm sure Coach Brohm, he gets peppered every Monday. I'm sure he'll be peppered on Monday about both of those guys just to see, hey, are they available for the game at Wisconsin? Are they basically done for the regular season? What's going
to
happen?
And just listening to Coach on that too, I think, obviously he'd love to have him back, but you don't want to. Some of those injuries are funny things, if you don't feel 100%, it's sometimes it's a feel thing. I don't know. Like I said, everybody's their own person. I have my feelings. There was injuries that I played through, but I wasn't as highly tuned of fine-tuned athlete as Rondell Moore is. I guess we're a little different type of player, but I knew that if I didn't play through an injury, there's a possibility I wasn't going to play. You know, the injury I did have, I blew my back out. I tried to play, come back. I couldn't do it. The injury I did have, Nick Hardwick came and took my spot, and I never got it back. So, I mean, that was basically the end of my Purdue career. He ended up being pretty darn good. Now, do we have somebody better than Rondale Moore? Is he concerned about that? I don't think so. You know, I think he's probably one of the most dynamic. I wasn't one of the most dynamic players in the country. But it's, you know, that there's everybody's got to make their own decision on that. And, you know, everybody's got pain tolerance. Everybody's, you know, has they know their own body and where they're at. It's the first, from what I understand, it's the first real injury he's ever had. And so it's a tough thing to make a decision on. I'm just speaking in general terms, and from what, like I said, I know from Drew, I made that observation. I know I can call upon my own that if I was healthy enough to play, I'm playing. And I don't care what, if it's, you know, even if I could hobble around a little bit, if I wasn't a detriment to the team, I was going on the field. And, you know, I'll talk to a guy like Jared Sparks. Like I said, that guy, it's like he's held together with duct tape. That guy wants to play. I mean, he keeps saying, keeps hobbling out there because he wants to play football. He feels like he's got something to prove. He wants to go out there and help his team. And if he feels good enough, he's going to go out there and play football. And it's just everybody's different, to each their own. And I guess that's kind of where I stand.
We'll come back with our plan to win, talk some Purdue football and some Purdue basketball this weekend coming up with the Boilers game against Chicago State. And we can't talk Purdue basketball without a text from Vernon. We always need the Vernon prediction. We'll get to that next as well on the Hammer Down Show 101.